fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Cameroon, which is continuing preparations to host next year's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Now, some of the Nations Cup-related construction projects are proving controversial. The massive demolition of houses in some areas without compensation is creating anger among some Cameroonians. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from the northern city of Garowa, one of the venues for African football's premier event.
Bulldozers of the Garowa City Council in northern Cameroon demolished every building constructed up to 10 meters along the main access ways to the Brumdeja Stadium. Ludovic Mbele, a 54-year-old father of four, is among those whose property has been destroyed. He says they were never given indemnities.
Ils ont donné une notification sans délai. Ils sont venus.
He says they were surprised that their shops and buildings were demolished even when the 24-hour deadline the government gave them to leave had not expired. But Jean Abati, governor of Cameroon's North Region, where Garowa is located, says he had reiterated that the people whom he said built without permits should leave after an inspection mission from the Confederation of African Football, CAF, visited Cameroon in January 2018. He says ever since 2014, when CAF authorized Cameroon to organize the 2019 AFCON, they immediately asked the population to leave the access ways they had illegally occupied around the stadium. Cameroon says the dilapidating 40-year-old stadium will be ready to hold 30,000 up from its present capacity of 25,000 people during the 2019 AFCON. But some observers believe the infrastructure may not be ready. 2 weeks ago, workers complained of unpaid salaries and refused to work for 2 days. George Tangang, the stadium's construction engineer, is however reassuring and insists that the facility will be ready by September this year.
The major structures that have to be demolished have already been demolished. For surgical demolition, for example, enlarging the access to the stadium or cutting and removing some stairs where they didn't have to be and where they have to be replaced. I think the project is quite on course and there's no reason why we should not respect the deadline. The rate at which we are progressing, it gives us a lot of reason to believe that when CAF comes to site, they should be satisfied.
Besides the stadia, the government of Cameroon is improving road and communication infrastructure, water supply, and the state of hotels. Gloria Che, manager of a private hotel in Garowa, says the government is soliciting their services.
Since we had the program from the Delegate of Tourism, we started preparing the hotel. We brought in people to try to ameliorate all the conditions in the hotel. We are fully much prepared to receive all the strangers that will be coming into Cameroon in 2019. We have a capacity of 54 rooms and a big restaurant capable of serving more than 54 people. We have a conference hall that can equally take 200 people.
The 2019 tournament will take place in June and July after CAF moved the timing of the tournament from January and February. CAF President Ahmad Ahmad had said Morocco will step in as host should Cameroon be unable to stage Africa's most prestigious sporting event. Cameroon's sports minister, Ismaël Bidoun, said 5 cities, that is Limbe, Bafoussam, Douala, Garowa, and the capital Yaoundé, will be ready as of the 32 stadia required for the 2019 Nations Cup, the 11 that served for the 2016 Women Africa Cup of Nations are ready and functional, and the country still has time to complete the remaining infrastructure. Another CAF inspection mission is expected in Cameroon in March. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Moki Edwin Kinzika in Garoua, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. And Moki will have more on Cameroon's preparations for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a look at some African sports highlights from the weekend is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson kicks off with a Moroccan football club winning a trophy.
CAF Champions League holders Wydad Casablanca won the African Super Cup title after beating DR Congo giant TP Mazembe 1-0 with a late strike at the Stade Mohamed V. Is the first African Super Cup title in the history of Wydad Casablanca, who beat Al Ahly in Champions League final last year to win their maiden Champions League crown. TP Mazembe, Confederations Cup holders, won the Super Cup three times. And on to women's football. Ghana's Black Queens have been crowned the champions of the maiden edition of the WAFU Zone B Women's Tournament after beating host Cote d'Ivoire 1-0 in the final game at the weekend. Nigeria's Super Falcons earlier claimed third place with a 2-1 win over Mali. Newly appointed Bayana coach Desiree Ellis aims to start her new job on a high by leaving a lasting impression on the Cyprus Women's Cup. South Africa are aiming for their best ever finish at the annual event. This will be the sixth time Bayana will be taking part in the tournament against a highly ranked opposition.
Going to any tournament, going to any game, you want to win it, and we are no different. So we'll take it game by game, but the idea is to go out and win the games and then play off for the best position that we can, but you have to win all your games.
In other sports news, the curtain finally fell on the 2018 Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang on Sunday, but the games will be remembered for Nigeria's Winter Olympics adventure, mainly driven by an all-female bobsled team who became the first ever Africans to participate in bobsled at the Winter Olympics. The Nigerian bobsled team didn't bring home the gold, but they didn't leave the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang empty-handed. Sheung Adigun, one of the outlets, said though they finished in the 20th place out of 20, they have all reasons for further celebration.
What we've done has set the groundwork for how people will now get into the sport, and it has started a wave, literally, since before we even got to this point. The inquiries that were coming in, the interest of people from not only homegrown within Nigeria, but within the diaspora that are now encouraged to do something all over the world. From Africa, from everywhere. So we're really, really excited about the outlook that this here has set for everyone else.
Staying with athletics news, Kenya's Dickson Chumba cruised to victory in the 2018 Tokyo Marathon, cutting the tape in a time of 2 hours, 5 minutes, 30 seconds to win the men's race in the Japanese capital. The women's race was won by Ethiopia's Brihene Dibaba, who timed 2 hours, 19 minutes, 51 seconds, with Hella Kiprop, the best Kenyan finisher, in 5th place. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not Flash Gordon or anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt, Jamaican star Usain Bolt, is in the sports spotlight once again. And joining us with more details is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Well, Sonny, 2 days ago, Twitter was all abuzz when Usain Bolt posted this social media tease.
I've just signed for a football team. Find out who it is on Tuesday, the 27th of February.
And the South African football club Mamelodi Sundowns played along, posting a picture of Usain holding a jersey with the caption, "Football will never be the same." Well, today is the day, and it turns out Usain Bolt will be playing football in an upcoming star-studded charity football match in Manchester, England. He'll lead World 11 against England 11, which will be captained by British pop star Robbie Williams. Today, Usain posted, "Excited to announce that I will be playing in Soccer Aid for UNICEF UK 2018 at Old Trafford on Sunday, June 10th. Make sure you're ready, Robbie Williams." Well, from the sound of this, I think they're both ready.
Soccer Aid for UNICEF is back. Celebrities, legends, and a brand new captain for the Soccer Aid World 11.
Robbie, let me entertain you.
You're saying you can run, but you can't hide.
Stick to singing and leave the football to me.
Usain says he's always had a desire to play professional soccer, and he's already got a special celebration plan for when he scores. I feel a new Bolt dance coming. Maybe. We'll see. Well, Sonny, before I go, I have to mention the Olympics one last time. I was checking out things on Twitter and came across hashtag What I Learned at the Olympics. And it turns out Twitter followers have actually learned a lot, and I think many of us can relate. Some had very keen observations about the events, like this: curling has nothing to do with hair. Yeah, that's true. And this one: curling is a cross between darts and housework. Oh, yes. Here's another: still can't tell the difference between an axel, a loop, or a sow cow jump. Skeleton is an event named after what will become of you if literally anything goes wrong on your run. I thought the same thing. Some others were a bit more introspective following the Olympic Games, like this tweeter: I am not an Olympian. Or this: I'm super out of shape. If I get up right when the commercials start, I can make a full plate of nachos before they come back on. These are all different tweeters, by the way. I get older, but the athletes stay the same age. That is so true. This tweeter learned his Olympic lesson through personal experience. Crafting my own gold medal out of candy wrappers doesn't seem to command the same respect as the official one. And then there were others who waxed poetic about life itself. Winning isn't everything, but it beats second place. Going downhill is not a bad thing. And to that, another tweeter pointed out, sometimes just getting down the hill is all that matters. One follower learned this from the Olympics, that I need to strive for greatness more often in my life. Another wrote, you get right back up after you fall. And finally this: the nice thing about the Olympics is that the world can set differences aside and just watch a few games. And I'll give that tweet the last word. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. As Gwen reported, the 2018 Winter Olympics are now history. The games wrapped up over the weekend in Pyeongchang, South Korea. While South Sudan was not represented at the Winter Games, one of its refugees traveled to the Korean Peninsula to deliver a message of peace and solidarity. Yeech Perbeel was a member of the refugee team at the 2016 Summer Olympics in Brazil. He says the Olympics are more than the most competitive stage for the world's best athletes. In a phone interview with Ayen Bior, Yeech Perbeel says the games are a chance to unite people from all countries.
We need to carry the message of hope to other people, because we had a team of refugees who participated in 2016 Olympics. But because these people, they don't have nation, they don't have country, but they compete because of the solidarity of the Olympics. But now the same message is continued to carry by the Olympic movement to unite North Korea and South Korea to become together to have one team. When I was there in South Korea, it means a lot to me to tell other people the meaning of the peace. Being in the Olympic in South Korea, we are carrying the same message and to achieve the goal of the Olympic movement.
For the listeners who don't know, North Korea and South Korea had a unified team at the Winter Olympics. And from you just said, I understand that you went there to support that unified North and South Korean team. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, the meaning of World Target is to unite the people, the North Korea and South Korea, because this idea, it never happened in the world to have one team for different countries, because North Korea and South Korea, it was a different country. But apart from uniting the North Korea and South Korea, this opens friendship to other people who are who are coming from different countries, who are an athlete, because they need to know the meaning of Olympics. Because the Olympics, the call an Olympian is whereby it is to create peace and create fair, fair play among the athletes who are competing. And to be in the, there, to be in South Korea is something whereby to unite these people and to tell them you can continue to carry the same thing of friendship and peace to unite different people in this world.
What lessons did you bring to the table, being from South Sudan yourself?
The same thing that I carried to South Korea and North Korea is also to the world, especially our country, South Sudan. But more than 2.5 million, there are refugees now. But seven people are in this place. But to end up this conflict, or maybe the situation that we have in our country, it is that first of all, we need peace. That is the reason whereby I continue to carry the same message to tell the world that we need peace. Peace is the fundamental of everything that we are doing as a human being. Without peace, you cannot prosper in everything that we are doing.
For the next Summer Olympics will be in Tokyo in 2020. Can we expect you to be there?
Yeah, actually, that is my goal or my target. But we must have trials from the team or the refugee Olympic around the world.
And you're training right now in Nairobi?
Yeah, in Nairobi now I'm training, Integral Nairobi training camp. And I'm also in school, studying public relations. And everything that as a human being doing, it requires a lot of time. It depends according to your achievement or maybe your hard work. And the situation that we are now, yeah, we as a people, we can change that situation. Especially young people who are refugees. Most of them are children and they are women. But if we cannot take this to be our mentally, something that can change our life, we cannot get basic needs that we are needing as a human being. But let's put our hand together to achieve something which will be called everlasting peace. Because nobody is wishing to be called a refugee.
That's Yeach Perbeil, a member of the refugee team at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And he was speaking with Ayen Bior from the Tegla Larupe Training Center in Ngong, Kenya. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Sochi, Russia, the host city of the 2014 Winter Olympics. Sochi also is one of the cities that will be hosting matches at this year's World Cup football tournament in Russia. And on Tuesday, Sochi hosted a workshop for coaches of the 32 World Cup teams. Among those attending the workshop was Fatma Samora, the first female Secretary General of FIFA, World Football's governing body.
FIFA, DRC, and Russian authorities have been working hard to ensure that the participating teams are treated to the highest level of infrastructure and services. This is an important moment for you to familiarize yourself with the result of this hard work and with what expects you in the few months to come here in Russia.
Also attending the workshop was Alexei Sorokin, the chairman and CEO of the 2018 FIFA World Cup Russia Local Organizing Committee.
It is our task to make your transportation seamless. It is our task to organize everything perfectly for you, and we'll make sure that it's going to be done. Regional authorities are waiting for you in your team-based camps. They're eager to receive you. They're excited to see some of the best players of the world. We still have to brush up certain things, but I can assure you that everything will be ready in a few weeks, and you can be a judge of that.
Russia 2018 CEO Alexei Sorokin saying everything will be ready for the World Cup in a few weeks. The 2018 World Cup will officially kick off June 14th in Moscow, where Russia will host Saudi Arabia in the opening match. And the World Cup final is scheduled for July 15th, also in Moscow. Moscow and Sochi are two of the 11 Russian cities that will stage matches spread across 12 venues. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled 50th Anniversary of the Olympics Black Power Salute. And among those who read the blog post, my friend Magnus Chisholm Onwudiwe, a.k.a. the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports. And Magnus writes from Owerri, Nigeria, and he says, "Sonny, I was deeply touched after reading about the 1968 Olympic protest by Tommy Smith and John Carlos. Those were the American sprinters who won medals in the 200 meters. And Magnus continues, "The memories of that photo depicts the fact that perfect peace, security, and racial equality cannot be found or attained in this life and universe." And Magnus goes on to say, "It's an unfair and unjust world where humans comprising different races, countries, continents, ethnic groups, cultures, religious groups, tribes, families, and individuals are segregated or discriminated against based on skin color, social status, rich, poor backgrounds, in a very volatile world today." And Magnus ends his little message of peace by saying, "Let mankind make our planet a better place. Let love lead mankind." Well said, Magnus Chisholm Onwudiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports. In National Basketball Association news, the Houston Rockets continue to streak, explosive winning streak. They won their 13th consecutive game on Monday night. They beat the Utah Jazz 96-85. James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, had 26 points. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out to Luke Baamute. He's from Congo Brazzaville. Luke scored 15 of his 17 points in the fourth quarter for the Rockets. They once again have won 13 games in a row. Elsewhere around the NBA, the defending champion Golden State Warriors defeated the host New York Knicks 125-111. Golden State's dynamic backcourt, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, once again had big games for the Warriors. Thompson scored 26 points, and Curry scored 14 of his 21 points in the third quarter. In other NBA action, the Toronto Raptors spread their wings, and they defeated the Detroit Pistons by a score of 126-94. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry each scored 24 points for the Raptors, and Serge Ibaka, another player with ties to Congo Brazzaville, he scored 19 points for Toronto, and they have won seven games in a row, seven wins in eight games for the Toronto Raptors. And that wraps up the February 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month, President Donald Trump signed the Department of Homeland Security Blue Campaign Authorization Act 2017, which will help combat human trafficking as well as protect victims of this crime. This legislation, signed on February 14th, will officially authorize for the first time the Department of Homeland Security's, or DHS, Blue Campaign, which is the unified voice for DHS efforts to combat and raise awareness regarding human trafficking. Working in collaboration with law enforcement, government, non-governmental, and private organizations, the Blue Campaign supplements the department's ongoing efforts and strives to protect the basic right of freedom and to bring those who exploit human lives to justice. Through the Blue Campaign, DHS raises public awareness about human trafficking, leveraging partnerships and existing resources to educate the public to recognize human trafficking and report suspected instances to law enforcement. The Blue Campaign also works in collaboration with DHS components such as Homeland Security Investigations, Customs and Border Protection, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Centers, and others to offer training to law enforcement and other stakeholders to increase detection of human trafficking and to protect victims and bring suspected traffickers to justice. This legislation will allow Blue Campaign to continue this critically important work. DHS is responsible for investigating human trafficking, arresting traffickers, and protecting victims. DHS also provides immigration relief to non-U.S. citizen victims of human trafficking. DHS utilizes a victim-centered approach to combat human trafficking, which places equal value on identifying and stabilizing victims and investigating and prosecuting traffickers. The department understands how difficult it can be for victims to come forward and work with law enforcement due to their trauma, and remains committed to helping victims feel stable, safe, and secure. In a proclamation designating January 2018 as National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, President Trump called human trafficking a sickening crime at odds with our very humanity. An estimated 25 million people are currently victims of human trafficking for both sex and labor, he noted. Human traffickers prey on their victims by promising a life of hope and greater opportunity while delivering only enslavement. Through the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign, he said, all Americans can learn to recognize the signs of human trafficking and how to report suspected instances.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lynor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss autism, a developmental disorder that impairs the ability to communicate and interact. Our guest, Susan Quisera, founder of the nonprofit organization New Life Foundation. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Ethiopia is set to undergo a major political change following the unexpected resignation of Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn. The nation is now under a six-month state of emergency, as declared by the defense minister, but the U.S. State Department says it strongly disagrees with a call to declare a state of emergency. A discussion on Ethiopia.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.